This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org. And by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
A beefed-up challenger for IBM.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Hewlett-Packard is spending almost $13 billion to buy electronic data systems. If the deal gets the okay, HP would become the second largest provider of technology services after IBM. Consumers still seem to be holding off on big purchases for the most part. Retail sales dipped 0.2% in April. Walmart, though, saw a 7% rise in profit. The World Aid community is trying to figure out how to spend resources between two catastrophic disasters in Asia. Groups say there's enough to go around between China and Myanmar, so long as the receiving countries cooperate. Marketplace's Scott Tong has more.
Saving lives is an ongoing negotiation for Dean Hirsch, president of World Vision International. His group finally has Myanmar's blessing to fly in relief supplies. And the ruling junta agreed to Hirsch's key condition, that local World Vision staffers hand the stuff out.
We don't want to just turn our relief supplies over to the military because we want to make sure that the relief supplies get to those people who need them.
Myanmar ranks as the world's most corrupt country, according to the nonprofit Transparency International. World Vision's next hurdle, to get more aid into Myanmar. Aid groups say it's needed, but not guaranteed.
Obviously, if the government of Myanmar does not agree to fly any more relief supplies in, then I would say we will divert the relief supplies that are ready to get them into China to help the people in China.
Today, Beijing said it will accept money and supplies from donor nations. But there's a familiar catch. China is not allowing foreign aid workers in either. Not just yet. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Asian markets were mostly higher today. Shares in Europe are mixed right now. The Dow rose 130 points yesterday to 12,876. The Nasdaq picked up nearly 43 points to 2488. And the S&P 500 was up 15 to 1403. The International Energy Agency has cut its forecast for world oil demand. The IEA says record prices and slower growth in the U.S. and other places will keep demand lower than expected this year. The prices we've seen at $120 a barrel and above have energy companies forging more deals with reputedly corrupt governments in order to tap new reserves. We usually don't get the details of those deals. A bill going before Congress today could change that. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The bill would require all oil, gas, and mining companies registered with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission to publicly disclose the payments they make to foreign governments. Oxfam America is part of an international coalition pushing for the bill. Spokesman Ian Gary says the current system of secret contracts breeds corruption.
And in that situation, it's extremely difficult for citizens in these countries to hold their own governments accountable for how the money is being spent.
Gary says the oil boom could bring hundreds of billions of dollars to Africa. And he says transparency would ensure more of that money reaches the people who need it the most. But Georgetown University law professor Donald Langvoort says the Securities and Exchange Commission doesn't typically enforce rules with social or political aims.
That's something the SEC has resisted.
Instead, he says, the agency is in the business of protecting investors, the same ones reaping the benefits of big oil's record profits. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Mom-and-pop gas stations can't keep up with big oil's prices. There are about 17,000 pumps in the U.S. with spinning dials that won't go over $3.99 a gallon. Most owners can't afford the $10,000 for each new digital pump.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Grant Thornton, serving their audit, tax, and advisory clients worldwide with people who love what they do. Online at grantthornton.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
We're seeing more and more evidence of baby boomers planning to work in some capacity during their retirement years, some because they want to, some because they have to. Either way, it's likely many baby boomers will convert a good portion of their assets into something that can generate a little income. Commentator Todd Buchholz says that transition could spell trouble.
Ah, the boomers. It's always the boomers. Their music, their nostalgia, their neuralgia. Those 76 million boomers. The generation that shouted, "Hell no, we won't go," is shouting it again. But they don't mean Vietnam. They mean, "We're not dying. And if someday we do pass away, well, we're going to look great because we're pumped up with Botox, breast implants, and every antioxidant we can squeeze into a soy milk latte." People who retired back in 1950, on average, lived another 12 years. Now that number has doubled. And when a baby boomer couple retires, odds are at least one of them will be smacking tennis balls well into her 90s. Which brings us to dividends. Serious scholars warn that we are careening towards a stock market crash in 2011 when the boomers start hitting age 65. Why? Because retiring boomers will need a steady income beyond what they snatch from the Social Security pyramid scheme. They will sell their stocks and jump into bonds, which will pay them a steady stream of income. But that may not be so good for the rest of us who would like to hang on to our equities. How can we avoid this fearsome future? By keeping dividend taxes low. Dividends can give boomers that regular stream they need to keep paying for their Pilates classes. Since 2003, dividend payments have climbed over 12% per year. With a low 15% dividend tax, companies pay out more cash. But if Congress jacks up taxes on dividends, well, boomers will more likely dump their stocks, grab those bonds instead, and go off to pasture dancing to that great boomer icon, James Brown. Papa's got a brand new bag. Of course, the rest of us will end up holding the old bag.
Todd Buchholz is a writer and former White House economic advisor to the first President Bush. His latest book is New Ideas from Dead CEOs. Send your ideas, comments, or questions by visiting marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.